very warm welcome, everyone. This is Straight from the Heart, and I'm your host, Juliana. My very special guest for the show today is a great soul and a man which has followed his many guides through his many incarnations. You've probably read some of his many profound writings and higher communications which he offers on a variety of blogs, forums, and websites globally. But it goes much deeper than that. Many have wondered what is the origin of his name, Xavier Hermes. Since he was in his early 20s, 40 years ago now, he has known that he had some association with Hermes. Indeed, he used to hear the name regularly at that time, when he had no interest in things esoteric. There are several aspects of Hermes that we know of. The Hermes Trismegistus, thrice great of the Greeks, Thoth of Egypt, Merlin of Britain, all appear to be part of the same entity. His Hermes connection is more obscure and is known as the grandfather energy. It appears to have been this aspect of Hermes that set up the energy structure for planet Earth before it started to come into physical being. The other aspect of his ancient lineage is the Melchizedek, which is a cosmic priesthood. He was given the Xavier Hermes name in a meditation many years ago now and uses it for all his writings and higher communications. Xavier Hermes will discuss the journey to the new reality, in which he will use storytelling and some pieces of channeling to illustrate the points which he would like to communicate. He will introduce the idea of an evolutionary jump which we are going through, as well as time not being of the fourth dimension, his exploration of frequency, and much more. Everyone, please join me in a very warm welcome for Xavier Hermes. Welcome, Xavier, and thank you for being my very special guest today.
Well, Juliana, I am delighted to be with you. And as you know, I'm sitting in a place in the north of France at the moment where it's almost dusk. you, I think, are in Florida, and the station is on the west coast. Amazing. I'm delighted to be with you and with your audience. And thank you so much for the invitation.
I thank you for being here with all your profound message and wisdom, Xavier. And we have a short time to cover a vast amount of information. So if it's okay with you, what I'll do is I'll just start with a question. If you would or could give us an idea of what you mean, Xavier, by an evolutionary jump.
Well, I think we all understand evolution normally moving, edging slowly, slowly forwards, if you like, very gently up a slope. But when there's a jump, it means that consciousness has reached some critical mass in which its surroundings, its reality that it is living in, suddenly become insufficient for where the consciousness has arrived at. And at that point, something truly profound can happen. And many ancient writings have pointed to this happening at this time. And I think many of your audience will know that this is well underway at this time. So I'm expecting something really spectacular to happen soon.
A lot of people are feeling that way. A lot of people are experiencing that same feeling right now. And didn't you have a strange experience about time while on a train?
Indeed, I see our understanding of time as being a critical part of understanding what's really going on. So let me tell you this story. For those of us who are privileged to have communications from time to time, I guess we normally expect to be in an inspiring place or in deep meditation or perhaps connected to a sacred site or in a group of people focused on higher purpose. This was as different from that as you can imagine, because I was in a crowded early morning commuter train going into London, England. I had to stand. There were no seats available. I had people around me struggling to read their newspapers and still asleep because they haven't had their first coffee of the day. And, you know, imagine the situation. So there we were, noisy, crowded, hot train, and all of a sudden, with no introduction whatsoever, a voice starts talking to me with absolute clarity, but it's coming from another dimension. And so the first thing I hear is, think of your first life on Earth as being like an interactive video. At this point, I'm sort of shaking myself, thinking, what's going on here? It's a journey where the main relationships, challenges, and scenarios are set up by you before you incarnated, a bit like choosing the degree of difficulty. When you arrive in your new human body, you completely forget all that went before, and from there on, the choices and responses that you make during the journey determine the outcome of your present life. So I'm thinking, wow, as I'm catching up with this discussion. And then it carries on. Well, I'm reflecting on this, and it seems a familiar idea after a moment. Said the entity. Now, we will use this metaphor of the video to illustrate something far more important. So I'm still thinking, what's going on here? Be quiet. Just listen, came a rather commanding voice. So I settled down. There's the clack of the rails in the background and people sort of heaving around, and there I am listening to this communication. One of humanity's fundamental assumptions about the nature of things is incorrect, says the voice. And it prevents you from a higher understanding of how things really are. So in my head I say, please explain. The rest of me feeling, you know, distinctly bemused by this. Well, we wish you to understand that time is not the fourth dimension, came a somewhat mystifying answer. So for me at the time, that was really quite a stunning idea. The voice carried on. If time is not the fourth dimension, I say, then what is? And the response is, the fourth dimension is frequency. Well, this didn't make any sense to me at all at the time, and I must have communicated that because the messenger went on and said, let us use the metaphor of the interactive video representing the journey of one lifetime to help explain. Let's say that your first lifetime is run at a frequency of 6,000. It doesn't really matter about the units of measurement, they're just comparative. So I think, okay, I can cope with that. Now, says the voice, on frequency 6,000, your life is being played out, say, every 10 frames. That is, presenting you with another snapshot at high speed on every 10th frame. So it's number 1, number 11, 21, 31, 41, 51, and so on, ad infinitum. Your brain synthesizes those, just like watching a film, giving you a continuous experience. So I make the comment, just like viewing a film, because I'm a quick learner. Yes, well done. The response was straight back to me. So we're in a sort of virtual reality, I think. A somewhat limited concept.
So what do you see as the key message from that experience, Xavier?
Well, let me just carry on for a moment. So what he's telling me is that we can take different tracks so that we can make a decision and go on to 62, 72, 82.
Right.
But our next life then has to be perhaps at a frequency of 5,900, because otherwise it would interfere with the first life. So that's the message that's coming through here, that first of all, we're having lives, each of which is at a lower frequency. It's the fall from the Bible. Okay?
Okay.
But, of course, eventually you run out of frequency. And that's where we are at this time. So the key message of this, as I see it, is that a time structure has a beginning and an end. This is one of the important things that this message told me. And that it contains the ground rules for the reality. So we've been in a duality which is based on lots of conflict and things of that sort. When a time structure comes to an end, as the Mayan calendar says, for instance, it's not the end of everything. There's a new time structure, and the new time structure has a different set of ground rules. And that's where we're at, making this jump to a new time structure.
Now, this jump that we're making, is this the jump that people are talking about going into the fifth dimension, the new world?
Going into?
The fifth dimension. I'm reading many things written about that we're in the rise of consciousness that is being risen now amongst the people, where we're rising out of the 3D and going into a new world, which is the fifth dimension.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of confusions about dimension, but I think it's not the one that we're in at the moment. In other words, we're going upwards in some way.
Right. And is there any, do you know how much longer it's going to be before we reach that fifth dimension, or you're not told that? That's something we got to learn on our own.
Well, I think I can give you an answer, but it's not a timing answer as such.
Right.
Because it depends on our shift in consciousness. In other words, we are what determines when this shift will happen.
Right.
When enough of us get to, if you like, in frequency terms, a high enough level, then this shift is going to happen. And I think we're very close. But I can't actually put a time on it, and I don't suppose anybody can.
Right. This is also incredible. How you brought this all this guidance and information together. Would there be a message that you'd like to share with our listeners regarding what you've just explained to us about the new reality and its frequency? And also, are there some elements that we would need to take into consideration in order to start to activate this journey?
Yes. there's a couple of things I would say here. The first one is we need a way to navigate. And the second one is we need some signposts along the way. Let me deal, first of all, with the question of signposts.
Okay.
So in a particular piece of guidance, I'm going to shorten this, here's a quote. In matters of true understanding, an accurate appreciation of context is all important. We need to sufficiently understand that the present context of the world around us has now failed us, and that we are all being used by a few who have only their profit and power in mind. So that's the introduction of it to this. So we need to understand that this context is really very brutal, and it benefits a small number of people because the rest of us have given our power away. Number two, we need to return to understanding the subject of universal law and principle. Now, that's a big subject. That could be several broadcasts. But some of the very simple things like what comes around goes around, and what you focus on expands, are examples of universal law. The third thing is to understand that every human can have these higher experiences of communication and a whole range of other faculties. Fourth one is that we can reconnect with our higher selves, and our higher selves are carrying every experience and every skill and every culture that we've come into contact with through literally thousands of lives. So we have a huge database of things which we can start to draw upon. And many of people's guidances, I think, come from this database. The fifth one is our magical faculties. And I won't, again, go into that because it's a big subject, except to say that we tried to inventory them and got to about 30, things like healing powers and telepathy and telekinesis, and we're then told, well, actually, there's over 100, but most of them you wouldn't understand right now. So that's really rather exciting. The sixth one is all about achieving balance, because that's what allows us to hold the higher frequencies. Seventh one is holding oneself harmless, which we're not very good at. Eighth one is a question of service to others. And that's really, at this time, at least in part, about leadership and showing others the way as we move forwards. The ninth one is learning to celebrate cultural and ethnic diversity. Now, that's always been used to separate us, you know, create all sorts of them and us. But of course, once humanity starts to unite, we're in a much, much more powerful position. So that celebration of other cultures is really an important ingredient. Tenth one is establishing global forums so that we can solve our challenges in a new way. The 11th one is governance across the planet, which is clearly very, very self-serving now and needs to be, if you like, fundamentally restructured. 12th one is personal consciousness of the physical universe, because it has many life forms and many other things that are really only on the edge of our consciousness. And then the final thing is that when all of those are taken into account, and none of this guidance is how you must use it, but just focus on it as an issue. And the final one is our return to full consciousness, which means that we're totally connected at a universe level and operating not as human, but as universal or superhuman, which, you know, the whole of which is very exciting, but has a lot to it. So those are some sort of pointers to elements that we need to take into account as we move ourselves forwards.
Right.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, definitely. How do you see us doing so far?
Well,
is there any hope?
It's very interesting because I was most inspired a few years ago to be given a book by a man called Dr. David Hawkins, who's a medical doctor. I think he's probably retired now, but I don't know that for certain. But he'd been a general practitioner, but also involved with the university, which meant he had lots of students. And they started using kinesiology, muscle testing, to ask the body questions, initially as a way of diagnosing things. But as a result of many years of working with this, he created a scale of consciousness. And the reason that this was so important for me was that we all know when we feel good vibes, we're up, we're elated, we're inspired, and when we feel negative vibes and we're down and despondent and lethargic and what have we. But what he has done is taken all sorts of different emotions and skills and practices and put them on a table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps I can ask the listeners to imagine a chart with a vertical line, and the vertical line is calibrated 0 to 1,000. And the interesting thing about this is that there are two vital points on this. The first one is just above 200, and the second one is about 700. And humanity calibrates on this scale of consciousness just above 200. Below that is service to self and entropy and all sorts of negative emotions, anger, greed, killing people's initiatives off, all the kinds of things that happen in a very competitive and rather militaristic kind of environment. So people who are operating below that 200 are really operating from a standpoint of external force. Once you move above that, you start to change your focus towards service to others, and instead of doing entropy, where everything is diminished by what you do, you start to do synergy, which is bringing things together and building the energy and moving it upwards. So this is people beginning to operate from inner power rather than outer power.
Right.
When you get to 700, it's what the good doctor calls the onset of true enlightenment. And so you're now beginning to have much higher concepts. Deep meditation will take people there. Our magical faculties are there. Channeling takes you to that level. Intuition, creativity, And then things like telepathy and the ability to manipulate matter and some of the things that we know that the Masters demonstrated in many situations are up in that last 700 to 1,000 bracket. Now, you said, how are we doing? And the interesting thing is, I found a way to measure this. I use a form of dowsing with charts, and it seems to be quite accurate. And what's now beginning to happen is more and more people are spending part of their time either just below or just above that onset of true enlightenment. So what happens is our consciousness moves up and down the whole time. You can have somebody who is doing most enlightened things 1 minute and then gets into a nasty argument with somebody the next minute and crashes their consciousness right down into the sort of hundreds, 200s. And that takes quite a long time to recover from that. On the other hand, there are various things. I mean, I've been to choral events and prayer gatherings and all sorts of things which you would put into the higher consciousness, higher purpose. And you can measure how the group's consciousness is moving upwards very rapidly. Interesting, because the doctor says if you move 3 or 4 points in a lifetime, you're doing well. But what's beginning to happen is some events in particular will move people 200, 250 points, even more, in an afternoon. Now that, I think, is quite extraordinary. And I think it's new. So I think we're beginning to do well.
Right. So when we crash, when we do something crazy like argue with someone or revert back to our old patterns of going back down below the 200 mark level, it takes us a long time to build back up about that 200 mark. And do we regain that, or how does that work? Can you explain that to people that has never heard about that before? And how do we really, and how do we know when we're at a high level, and how can we stay at that high level? Is there a way? Is there a formula? Is there something that you can tell us that we can do so we don't make that big mistake and crash back down again?
That's a very good question. And things like anger and fear and greed and guilt all bring us crashing down. No doubt about that. So it's clear to me that a very important element of this journey to move ourselves up to a higher frequency is to have control over our emotions. I don't mean bottling things up so that we're in total anguish inside and look smooth and controlled outside. It's more than that. It's how you overcome those emotions so that you don't have a hair trigger and crash and burn every time the smallest challenge comes up. So that's the first thing. In other words, you can do more good for your own path by concentrating on those low frequencies than anything else. The next thing is that, you know, when we do what we love to do, it raises our frequency. And I should say that the new reality, as far as I can tell, is gathered around this 700 point on this chart, 700 and upwards. So our journey is one of frequency to move ourselves up there. That means cutting out the negative stuff. That needs work and focus. But also, if you do what you love to do, and you're ruthless with yourself about that, then that also builds your frequency. So, for instance, if you're in a job that you absolutely loathe and you've been there for years, for goodness sake, move on and go and do something that you enjoy. I know for some people that's very tough. But locking yourselves into job situations, interpersonal situations, and relationships, things that you do that you really don't like, will hold you down like an anchor. And the other element to that is that if you go and do things that are uplifting. As I said, I've been to prayer meetings, to wonderful choral events, even some sporting events, you know, a big crowd watching a football match or something of that. You can feel the energy rising. All of those things are good and lift our energies and are helping us in that upward journey. There's a lot more to it, but if you use that as a set of guidelines...
Right, as a basic guideline.
Yeah, basic guideline, do the things that lift you up and move yourself away from the things that bring you down. Very simple.
I know you have some specific thoughts about leadership in the context of the journey to the new reality. Is there something you'd like to speak about with that?
Yep, I think that also is a very important element. I'd like to just quote from a piece of guidance on this, because I think this puts it rather nicely. This was guidance that came in September of last year, and it starts like this. There is a time in the affairs of men, and that time is now. A key trigger in moving your evolutionary jump into the next gear is for you, individual by individual, to actively stand for what you believe, or better, for what you understand deep down in your inner knowing. To do this is an act of leadership. There are very large numbers of people who, having started to understand what is going on in the world around them, are now wearing a question mark. The essence of their question mark is, there must be something better than this, and it is expressed in many ways. So, what I'm seeing is that there are lots of people whose consciousness has shifted, and the first stage is to start to see the world, if you like, in a big reality check. And therefore, everybody who can stand up for something which is a true, honest, high-integrity belief system and tell others about it are actually undertaking an act of leadership. And what it really needs is everybody who's in this place to pull their fear away and get to a space where they're happy to talk to anybody who is willing to, if you like, support them, encourage them, and help them to start moving up themselves. So, yes, I think this issue of leadership is, it's really for everybody who consciously sets out on this journey. The second most powerful thing you can do after getting your own journey moving is to communicate with others and inspire them to do the same thing.
Right. So, do we have those of us that have already risen our consciousness higher? Do we have to wait for the rest to rise up to the level we're at before the final huge consciousness shift, or is that something that's going to be done for all of us because we have to have it done at a specific date and time before, say, 2012 or by 2012 or whatever?
Well, I personally have always regarded 2012, the Mayan calendar, I think there's still some doubt over the exact interpretation of the date.
Right.
B, I've always felt it was the latest date. What's interesting, going back to David Hawkins' book for a moment, is that he shows in a table, I won't go into it into detail, but what he illustrates is that somebody who's achieving a high frequency cancels out the negative effect of many thousands of people operating at a lower level. So there is a critical mass here, and I think there's a relatively small number of people who, if they get into that top part of David Hawkins' consciousness scale, the 700 to 1,000, will then reach a critical mass, and everybody will make the journey. Now, a lot of old documents and things talk about a harvesting and people being thrown aside and others being lifted up. And I think that for a long time that was what was probably going to happen. But I think there's been a huge change, if you like, a policy change from higher levels of consciousness. And my understanding is that when this critical mass is reached, that every human being on the planet, plus all of those who, of course, are currently discarnate, will all have the opportunity to make this jump to a new reality, which I think is great.
I think it's wonderful. And this new reality is the new world, the new world that they're talking about.
The new reality still has us in physical bodies, but the ground rules for our reality will be, I think, much more gentle, much more inspired. We will have access to a whole range of faculties that today we think of bordering on magic. We'll have access to everything we've learned through very many lives. I believe our bodies will become self-healing. I think there are some indications of this happening in a few people now, so that the whole question of the medical field and the heart and the pharmaceutical industry and all the bizarre things that go on there, we will rise above. And indeed, that's really the key message. You know, the problems of the world and the planet are the problems of the old and dying reality. When we move up to this higher frequency, we leave that behind us, and my take is it's a small number of people. In fact, it's probably the 144,000, which is mentioned in many places. That will be enough to trigger the event then for everybody.
Right. And will everything rise up, not just the humans, but the animals and all other living beings as well at that time?
That's my understanding. I don't believe a lot of sort of scientific view of the consciousness of animals. I think, we happen to live in a wildlife sanctuary, and we have animals here who, in an area which is famed for its hunting, we have wild deer who come and feed from our hands, and yet half a kilometer away they'd be shot at.
Right.
I think the consciousness of all the animals around us is very much higher than we have ever given them credit for. And yes, I see this affecting animals, plants, everything. Well, if you go back to the most basic concepts of consciousness, everything actually has consciousness. We know that all the native cultures would honor the trees, the woodlands, the mountains, the river, and they would speak to them. I think that's absolutely right. It all has consciousness. It's all shifting up with us, the entire planet, and its complete cargo and passenger list. That's us.
Maybe the consciousness and the energy of the animals is really higher than Earth, and maybe they're here to help rise us up.
I think that's entirely possible. Yes, I would go with that. Lots of little examples that I can think of animals having magical effects on people. I was talking to someone quite recently where a terminally sick young woman, I guess it would be late 20s, was taken to swim with the dolphins, and after she'd been written off by the medical profession, recovered completely. You can probably think of lots of examples like that. Yes, I think they have a higher consciousness, and they have a higher magic quotient than we do right at this moment. And they use it in our favor frequently.
They're so much more forgiving than we are, too. And
yes,
they practice total unconditional love.
I think we are the only sentient beings that that hold grudges so perfectly.
Right. That's very sad, isn't it?
And, of course, that is immensely damaging. It's something else which causes us to crash our consciousness.
Right.
So it's something we have to work our way out of.
Right. This is all so fascinating. This is all so incredible. And you have blogs and forums and websites globally. I'm sure that the listeners are going to want to know how to you know, read a lot more about what you write and possibly have to even get in touch with you. Can you let them know how to do this, how to find out more about you?
Well, sadly, I don't have a website for this as yet. It's in my plans, but other things I'm doing are keeping me immensely busy at the moment. I do, however, write regularly for a website which has got a very big audience called rumormillnews.com.
Right.
Rumormill News has a wide variety of reporting from people all around the planet, including conspiracy and some scurrilous things. I mean, it is a rumor mill, although a remarkable percentage of what they come up with turns out later to be correct. And there's a little group of us who put more spiritual postings into it, put articles and things which are hopefully inspiring. And that, I think, helps to balance out some of that other stuff that we need to know about but can go overboard if you're not careful. On Rumor Mill News, there is a reading room which is all the current stuff as it comes up. There are also archives, and I probably have something like 300 articles in the archives of Rumor Mill News. And also, if one of your listeners wants to get in touch, then if they look at one of my articles, and there's usually one or two that are current in the reading room, that gives them the facility to email me. So I would recommend, since I'm the wrong side of the Atlantic and my timing is out for the US, I think use Rumor Mill News, use the email facility, and I will engage anyone who cares to in email conversation, see what I can do.
Wonderful. Yes, Rumor Mill News is definitely excellent. That's how I found you, and I've been so drawn to all of your incredible wisdom that is in your articles. I look forward to it every day. When you're not there, I just keep looking and looking until I see you again, because I really enjoy all of your messages and articles in there. We still have about another 10 minutes, so if there's something else that you feel that the listeners, that's really important, that you'd like to get out there, which all your information is very profound and important as far as I'm concerned, but if there's something else that you would like to get out there and speak about, just go right ahead, because like I said, we got 10 more minutes, so you have so much that it's like I don't even really know what really to ask you right now, because you got so much important information. So what would you like to discuss?
Well, I've got a piece of guidance here. It actually goes back to December 2001, and when it came through, I was absolutely wowed by it, because, you know, the context has changed a lot since then. It seems perhaps a little more mainstream now, but it sort of summarizes in many ways what I've talked about and gives one or two pointers. So if I read this, it's 4 to 5 minutes. Shall I do that?
Sure. Go ahead. Take your time. We've got like 10 more minutes.
Okay. So this is what the 20th of December 2001 said. A growing number of you have come to realize that for you personally, this present reality has little or no further point to it. Indeed, it was created to facilitate a specific part of the human journey. This element is now at an end. As a result of your awareness of this, many activities that have constituted your earthly reality to date have fallen away. All their impetus has gone. In actuality, this is a most important step in the creation of an entirely new reality, for it allows the old one to finally be discarded. Yet, it's also a considerable challenge for each of you. The ego is going through a transition from being the dominant element in your earthly persona to becoming a co-creator with several other faculties that are only now moving into activation. When the ego finally lets go and moves into its new role, it will not only have far less influence, but the drives that it represents will be quite differently focused. Indeed, this focus will be one of higher service, and it is the emergence of the so-called golden ego. The essence of this faculty is the role of spiritual navigator. So if I just break in there, you know, the Buddhists in particular talk very much about the suppression of the ego. I have never been able to see that. I think that when we focus our ego on higher purpose and transform it in that way, that you get something really very powerful that turns us into true co-creators. Anyway, back to this guidance. Meanwhile, the old ego form feels itself to be mortally threatened. This is not so, but in order to allow appropriate movement, you will need to work with the old ego and both counsel and support it in taking the new evolutionary path. Otherwise, its resistance will be such that it will continue to spread deep melancholy into your beingness, slowing down the transformation process and causing you considerable anxiety. Your remedy is to seek the higher path. In probability, one quite different from that which has gone before, even though elements of the new may already be present. This new path is intended to finally honour and manifest that which deep inside you know to be your true purpose in this incarnation. It is also about the delivery of the commitments you made before incarnating. Ask for and listen to your guidance in this, and then work to envisage the highest path that you can possibly imagine, without taking into account the apparent constraints of the old reality. It is dying around you. Be utterly true to yourself, and purpose and direction will soon return. The starting point that you have by then envisaged will be just that, for this path will take you far beyond what your long immersion in the old reality has ever allowed you to perceive as being possible. The path you will have co-created will become the core of your new and fast-evolving personal reality, and it's also a vital component in the construction of a new reality for the entire planet. So there you are. We are co-creating, and of course we're co-creating with each other.
Right.
We're co-creating with other realms of consciousness.
Right.
And this is a huge adventure, as long as we set out on it and understand that it is a path to be taken.
So there's no stopping what we're co-creating now by the dark ones, because we're on our way, and even if they wanted to stop this, they can't. Is that right?
I think that's right. I think that much of the craziness we've seen around us has been a war over human consciousness. The old controllers are trying every way they can to induce us into fear and anger and all those negative things, because they know that that's what crashes our consciousness.
Right.
But I think that we've actually risen beyond the point where they can control us, and we're starting to roll away from their influence. So, yep, we're on our way.
A lot of people in the last couple of days I've been reading, as well as I've been getting emails from people as well, saying that they're going through, and I myself feel this way, they're going through this strange feeling where they feel completely detached from everything that was up until 2 days ago. It's like the old things that we fought for and stood up for, the old things we believed in, the things that we were so eager to read and learn about. It's like it is so over, it's so way back there that we've lost our interest in that, and we're feeling like we've stepped into a area where it's like we're just standing there and looking around and saying, where are we, where is this place, and what am I supposed to do now? Is there anything that you could share with us that you are getting or feeling about that? And are you experiencing this as well?
Yes, I think that lots of people are in a kind of synchronicity where they're feeling the same things at the same time. I mean, in fact, the last 3 or 4 days, there have been a lot of people who've been angry and short and uptight and what have we. The thing you referred to before that, this feeling of sort of emptiness and detachment, you know, in that piece of guidance I read, it says many activities that have constituted your earth reality have fallen away.
Right.
But, you know, it's, we have to lose all of the old stuff to make room for the new stuff coming in. And so this is, it's a bit like a fairground ride, you know, it's a lot of ups and downs as we are being processed. You know, our bodies are full of all sorts of programs and tensions and things which come from this life and from past lives and lock us into all sorts of habits. And those are being slowly, energetically disposed of. All sorts of things, you know, even one's hobbies that you're passionate about can just simply fall away and you've lost total interest in them. Guidance that you thought was the most profound, be it from a church or a channel or all sorts of different sources, you suddenly move above it and you think, why was I engaged with all of that? You know, things that are really dear to you can be swept away in a few hours and simply are no longer part of your reality, and that is part of the journey. I think the most important thing to do is to realize that when we're up and down and unstable and all of those things, that it is a huge amount of process going on inside us. You know, we're being sort of rebuilt on the hoof in one incarnation. I've had evidence that our chemical systems are changing, certainly our chakra systems are changing, our consciousness is changing, and there's a list of perhaps half a dozen other things, all happening at once. All, I suspect, have never happened in this profound way previously. So, yes, you go through periods of time which are quite challenging. You'll have times when you're up, you'll have times when you're completely listless and can't move yourself around. All of those things, and it's a part of the journey, and I think we have to learn how to deal with it and go with the flow, or if there isn't any, just sit and wait for it to reestablish and do some positive things, you know, sit and meditate, affirmations even in that sense will just gently stir your energy back. But sometimes I know I have just got to sleep, and that's all I can do. I'm sure you've had that experience as well.
Yeah, definitely. It just takes you over, and usually when that happens, when it first started happening with me about, I'd say, 3 years ago, I would fight it, but within the last 6 or 8 months, when it happens, I know it's time for me to go and go to sleep, and that's when I always get information.
Yeah. I think at that time you will get downloads. You've got all sorts of restructuring going on in the body. I mean, for instance, you know, it's now beginning to be acknowledged that a third strand of DNA is emerging. We have all this stuff in the body that they call junk DNA because it's bits and pieces. They don't know what function it has.
They don't know what it is, so they call it junk.
Yeah, it's all beginning to join up. So yeah. All that physical stuff just needs sleep.
Exactly.
You know, and if we sleep, then it gets on with the job. If we fight it, then, of course, it can't.
Right. Definitely. Well, my dear, I thank you so very much for coming on. This was incredible. I can't wait to get you back on here again. Anytime in the future, you have my email, you have my phone number, you know how to get in touch with me. Anytime that you would like to come on again, please get in touch with me and let me know, and I will be more than happy and honored to have you back on. You have so much wonderful information that I know there's going to be time where, you know, you can come on again and really give us some more of this incredible enlightenment. So thank you, Xavier. Bless you, dear heart. I know it's nighttime there now, which really blows my mind because Here I am down here in Florida, and it's only like 3 o'clock in the evening. So I'm going to say bless you, dear soul. Thank you from my heart and soul for coming on. I so appreciate all you're doing for humanity, and I so appreciate you coming on the show. Good night. Sweet dreams. Bless you. We'll be in touch. And, Don, thank you, my dear. Thank you, my dear friend, for everything. Thank you, BBS staff. Listeners, thank you so very, very much for listening. I hope that the message that Xavier brought forward to you filled your heart with hope and joy, and that you'll keep listening to the show, and he will be on again soon, I'm sure. You just keep watching my show page, and you'll see it. My special guest for next week, for the next show, which is on August the 23rd, it's at noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time, is Kathy Newbern. She's the author of the book A Planetary Awakening, The Reflections of the Teachings of the Tibetan and the Works of Alice A. Bailey. Please check out my new website, The Angel and Me. It's always morphing with new and interactive content. Check out my orb photo page and my free Straight from the Heart show archives. And also, if you like, you can have an intuitive reading by myself. And there's a lot more interesting stuff to enjoy at my site. The site is www.theangelandme.com. It's theangelandme.com. And thanks so much, everyone, for listening. And bless you all. And have a great evening. Peace. Much love.